My name's Professor Steve Hall, Professor Emeritus of Criminology. I'm speaking from Newcastle. I spent 30 years researching criminality, focusing on economic crime, finance, and I have a reasonable grasp of economic history, social science, anthropology, and I try to combine these disciplines in order to understand the strange mess that our world is in today. I'm here to talk about reform. And today, we got an interesting message over on social media. And also the mass media were reporting this, which is interesting. And they're toying with the idea of reducing or even getting rid of altogether of the interest paid on government borrowing. This is extremely radical. It might involve a reduced interest rate at the central bank. It might introduce, a zero interest rate policy, a ZIRP, which is something suggested by the modern monetary theorists, such as Warren Mosler, Bill Mitchell, and other heterodox economists who have been consigned to the fringe over the past 40 or 50 years since neoclassical economics, the root of neoliberalism, the system we call neoliberalism, have taken over the financial institutions and economics education. So neoclassicism, the economics of the likes of Milton Friedman, which has some roots in libertarianism and other roots in neoclassical economics, where they seem to think that, they want us to believe that the private money funds the state, that private money, and even the Marxists, some of them agree with this, I think foolishly, that the private money is created out there somewhere in markets and production and trade. And we give some of it to the state, which and put it in a pot, and then they dole it out to the National Health Service and all of the other public services and infrastructure that they need to spend it on. And it's just complete utter nonsense. In fact, the government has been like this since the Bank of England was set up in 1694. The government is the sole sovereign currency issue. No one else can create money. And the private banks are licensed to create this new money every time they make a loan. So it's this constant, it's like, more like, not like a pot, it's like, imagine a garden hose just spraying this money into the garden. It has to be done at the correct rate. If it sprays too much into the garden, then and aggregate demand outstretches supply, then you can trigger demand-led inflation. Inflation tends to more to be supply-side, in other words, rising prices because of supply costs, and particularly, for instance, during COVID when the supply chains were snarled up, and also because of the energy price hikes over the past 2 or 3 years, tends to be supply-side. So, but demand-led inflation can be a problem. So we were led to believe that money's created out there somewhere, miraculously, even though if you try to do that, you would be arrested for counterfeiting, of course. But it's created out there somewhere, and it's gifted to the state by the goodwill of the tax-paying individual or tax-paying business. It gives them, the state the money it needs to spend. It's complete utter nonsense. So this myth is the basis for the belief that the government needs to sell bonds in order to acquire private money. The central bank acquires private money, which it can, it needs to for its spending. So you've got taxes and you've got bond sales. And this sustains the myth that the government runs on private money, and it's complete nonsense. So what Farage has done today is just scratch the surface of this and cast the whole thing into doubt by claiming that really we don't We don't need to pay to woo these bond buyers by giving them loads of interest on top of the, on top of their savings account. Bonds simply shift money from a checking account into savings accounts. That's all they do. This is a scam that goes back to originally in the Netherlands when huge corporations such as the Dutch East India Company had loads of reserve capital, didn't really know what to do with it, don't like taking risks with it. None of the big banks and these big corporations don't like taking risks with their money. They project themselves as risk takers. They're actually risk avoiders and risk minimizers. They don't like taking risks at all. That's why we can't get industry going back in this country. They won't take the risk because, of course, we have high labor costs, high energy costs. And it's a very, very risky investment. So bonds go back to the 17th century. They're simply safe deposit accounts for the reserve capital of big corporations, big banks, businesses. Of course, rich individuals can buy bonds too, but it's mainly the big buyers are the big institutions. So we have this situation where we offer private capital, reserve capital floating around, doesn't have to do with itself, all dressed up, nowhere to go. And we offer them savings accounts and we pay them interest. Well, it's win-win for them, isn't it? It's a great deal because it's basically an old pals act. There's an amazing story about John Maynard Keynes when he was working for the Treasury during the First World War. And they weren't doing very well selling war bonds. People didn't want to buy them because they didn't have much confidence in their own country. Because powerful Germany, and they didn't. Well, they weren't having much luck. So Keynes saw them actually fabricating names of bond buyers, of private bond buyers, and they're simply printing the money. And using it to fund the war effort. It's simply fabricating the whole thing, which indicates that really they don't need to sell these bonds. How do they pay them off? Well, they simply print the money and print the interest in 10 years or 20 or 30 or 40 years' time, depending on the maturity date, whether they're short or long sell bonds. So they just, they print it anyway. So why can't they just printed now? As long as the money in circulation matches the productivity, matches the supply, then you don't get inflation. Aggregate demand and it has to match in supply. So the whole thing's a scam. It's a con. Now, Farage hasn't come out and said it's a scam and we don't accept bonds at all, but he's just sort of poked a little hole in the dam of that ideology by saying, well, why should we pay them loads of interest?
The figures are amazing, really. 700 billion in these bonds, apparently. And by not paying this interest, we could be saving the Exchequer 35 billion a year.
Well, we could. But yes, but we've been paying them all this interest since 1694. I shudder to think what the accumulated total of that might be. Why do we do this? This is an old policy. We give them savings accounts and we give them interest. Of course, it's legally enshrined that all savings accounts must pay interest. Why is that legally enshrined? We could trace that back to the law, moving over to the creditor side from 14th century. It's ridiculous how much power what Michael Hudson calls the creditor class have over nations. And I think the last time we spoke, I was telling you about the combined stock, forex and bond markets trading over $160 trillion, the equivalent of $166 trillion every day. This massive market money power. And they can swoop down and threaten nations' currency. If the forex markets, which is the sort of warhead of this weapon that they have floating around the world, If they sell off a few billion, they get the cascade effect where everyone loses confidence and they all start selling enough. And then the value of currency make our imports more expensive. Businesses close, and the government lasts as long as Liz Truss. I think we spoke about that last time. So this whole scam, that is the creditor classes, the grip on nations, has Farage has just poked a little hole in that. And people are thinking, well, if we don't have to pay them interest, and why are we then? Why are we taking their money? We don't spend this money. They're savings accounts. It's ridiculous. The whole idea that we need bonds to that we're borrowing. In fact, a currency issuing government doesn't need to borrow anything at all. It needs as much tax as it needs to keep the supply of money down below the inflationary limit. And it's a good way of doing this because it can redistribute some income at the same time. So it can create more social equality at the same time as controlling inflation. So that's a win-win for the public and the state. But this is not what the creditor class want. The creditor class make their money by investing and pocketing returns. That's how they do it. So they do not want the state to have the ability to invest and spend public money and crowd them out of these investment markets. Now, the last person to reduce bond sales in this country was Attlee, of course, when he nationalized coal and gas, electricity, and was setting up the National Health Service in that period, 1945 to 51, when they laid down the foundations of the Keynesian welfare state. And they also installed capital controls to prevent money going out of the country, or prevent some of it going out of the country, to retain enough to make sure that some investments was was put back into industry in this country. Now, I think we spoke last time about how they start to circumvent this through the Eurodollar market using the territories, the old crown territories of the empire to circulate. We've all heard of them, and you read the work of Nicholas Shaxson and others, the Cayman Islands and Jersey. So they circumvented it to some extent, and of course Thatcher got rid of the capital controls altogether. Now, the whole idea is to disempower the state, disempower the working class, and hand over financial power to the private creditor class, which is, of course, a globalist a complex of institutions, the big hedge funds, the banks, the investment banks, etc., who can go around the world, put their money where they want for the highest return. That's a very simple principle on which they operate. Now, Attlee, well, to some extent, he didn't go the whole way. And I don't suppose Farage would ever go the whole way. In fact, we have to suspect that Farage might do absolutely nothing at all, and this is just a gesture. But even if it's just a gesture, it's still a smarter move than Reeves telling everyone that we have no money, we can't spend it, you're all going to have to suffer austerity, you can't have a winter fuel payments, we can't fund the NHS properly, we can't nationalise Thames Water. And you must probably know more about the shenanigans going on there, about the bonuses and all this, even though they've made a complete mess of it. Why should states reimburse private investors who take are supposed to take a risk? They don't want to take any risks at all.
Steve, here in Bristol, one of our residents, Sally Roberts, she was last week in the benefit centre. She's disabled, and she was told, "We're taking away your PIP. You're now a job seeker, and you're on universal credit, so we're halving your benefits." Now, she started screaming.
It's disgusting, and that we have a captured state operating on behalf of private capital. Let's cut to the chase. You're talking about moneylenders, usury. That's all they're interested in is lending out money and trousering the returns. And they wanted to reduce public spending, public investment, so they can crowd themselves into lucrative market. They don't have much industry to invest in because they foolishly And criminally, you could argue, deindustrialized this country and much of America and parts of Europe too. Apart from Germany, of course, that was their investment shock absorber. But they deindustrialized in order to make more money, more profit, more returns in low wage, low tax, low cost economies over in the Far East and Mexico, parts of South America, etc. So these people have no one's interests at heart apart from their own, and we can't. They don't seem to have any empathy for disabled people, people with mental health issues who are simply finding life intolerable. And I don't think, as a population, we can tolerate these people any longer. So what Farage has done, I think very cleverly, much cleverer than the left. But I mean, to be honest with you, I think my cat is cleverer than the left has been over the past 30 years or so. And a much, much cleverer move to suggest to people, look, we don't need this, pay these private lenders interest, private bond buyers interest. We don't need to do all of this. What we can do is we can, and they've even offered to nationalize steel at Scunthorpe. They'll, at the same time, they're threatening to privatize the National Health Service, a part of it. So which end of do you believe? It's like a dog barking at one end.
Well, I don't know if you've seen this, Steve, if I'm just dropping this on you, but earlier this week in Wales, Farage was also talking about reopening the steelworks at Port Talbot and coal mines as well in South Wales.
I mean, there's a motive issue there, apart from the workers who want their jobs back and the communities are going to suffer because of this closure. It's also a national security industry. You can't have a country, an industrial country, without a steel industry. I would argue without an aluminium industry. When you need a metals industry, you might end up going to war with the people who buy steel from it. It doesn't make any sense. I'd also add healthcare equipment to that list too. These are national security issues, so they're motive issues. Now, it might be gesture politics entirely because he knows that that's an emotive issue. He knows that an emotive issue about paying too much interest. It might all be smoke and mirrors. We don't know. You know, when it comes push comes to shove, if they get in, and they possibly will, although I think Labour might do a few U-turns and scrape back in. That's a possibility. But if Reform do win, and they have a decent majority, then they get the opportunity to do. Then they might simply backslide. Say, "Oh, I'm sorry, we miscalculated. We can't do this. We don't want to annoy the bond vigilantes, the bond markets, the forex markets will attack us. We've spoken out of turn." Might do absolutely nothing. So that's a possibility. But even if it is gesture politics, it's smarter gesture politics than we're getting from the left. They're not even promising to do this to put this right in the future. They're saying, look, we're going to grow the economy and we're going to use private capital to fund the state. And they're just perpetuating the myth that we got rid of in 1945 and we had 30 decent years before stagflation. We might want to talk about stagflation at a later date sometime because that, I think, was sabotage. I don't think there's any need to borrow money from the IMF. And stagflation had roots in bank credit and of course, the oil price rises. But they were primed for the oil price rises by releasing too much bank cheap money from about 1968.
Well, look, we've already seen the Bank of England yesterday hit back at Reform, saying that they risk destabilising markets. The Bank of England is warning. The victorious supporter, who's the director of the bank, signalled that the party's scheme to stop the bank paying interest on money held there by commercial banks could return Britain to a world of significant volatility in financial markets.
Well, this is money market power. This is what I'm talking about. We can't go on under the cosh of markets. And there's no such thing as the markets. Markets can't be angry. There's a logic to markets, but markets are operated every day by market traders. So what they're saying is that market traders, many of whom sit behind computer screens in our own country, in the City of London, are willing to destabilize our own country in order to maintain their market power over our government. That's basically what they're saying. And we think, oh, dear me, they'll sell off our currency, they'll bid up the bond prices, they'll cause a big mess, they'll cause inflation, devalue the currency, make our imports too expensive. Businesses will, inevitably complain bitterly about that, and the government will be gone. Do you think President Xi would put up with any of that?
Well, look, you're saying it's the traders doing this, but it's not, is it? It's Victoria Supporter saying it, who's a director of the Bank of England, a public appointee.
Because the Bank of England and the traders are in it together. The central banks and the traders are part of the same system. Central banks are not working for the government.
Well, Panmure, this is in the Daily Telegraph, Panmure Liberum, I'm not quite sure, I think they're some private investment company, they recently warned of an immediate and violent sterling crisis if Nigel Farage came to power.
There you go, the threats have started already. That's what they do. And sometimes they don't even have to do it, they just have to threaten. Because of the inflation after Truss. Truss did this, for completely different reasons. She thought she could lower taxes, use the state's money to tide people over during difficult times and woo private equity. Stupid idea. But it wasn't that angered the markets, i.e. the market traders and the central bankers who are working on the side of the market traders rather than the government, even though they're supposed to be governed by the Treasury. By the Treasury, which is part of the elected government.
Well, okay, look, Richard Tice, the party's deputy leader, sent a letter last week to Andrew Bailey, Governor of the Bank of England, accusing Threadneedle Street of prioritising corporate profits over the interests of working people. He claimed the bank was engaging in a systemic misuse of taxpayers' money by paying interest and selling its existing stockpile of government bonds at substantial losses. Threadneedle Street did not start paying interest on reserves until 2006, he said.
Well, that's not quite true. All reserves are interest. It's just that the interest was very low. But he's right in saying whether he means it or not, this could be just pantomime politics. This could be a stage act because they all know each other. As Farage is a former commodity broker and Tice, of course, is a property developer. I don't know whether they're serious about this, but it's a superb and clever political move to start this antagonism with the central bank and with the money markets, because people will think at last someone out there is on our side.
Okay, Steve. Well, look, what's the best way people can find and follow you? And if you could just tell us a little bit about your books.
Well, our last book, it was The Death of the Left in 2023. Well, more recent one, but it's a specialist criminological book out in this month. It was actually May the 30th. That's right. It came out May the 30th. And follow me on X, Steve Hall on X, and where I'm pontificating about economics, economic history, psychology, politics, and all the rest of it. And see if you agree with my tweets. I tweet about this sort of thing quite regularly and get quite a bit of attention. I think I'm right about this. I think that really we need to face up to the reality that we're subservient, we're subjugated by global money markets, and we can't carry on like this. And we must take our economy under the management of our elected representatives, who can work in some ways with private capital. I mean, Attlee didn't abolish capitalism, and neither did Deng Xiaoping. In fact, he brought it back in order to help China develop. But the difference between China and this country, and America, of course, and Europe, is that in China, the politicians control the bankers and the central bankers and the big corporate players. over here, the corporate players, the bankers and the central bankers control the politicians. The relationship is the inverse. And Tyson Farage have made noises about reclaiming that power on behalf of the people. They might mean it and they might not, but either way, it's a very clever political move. And once again, they've outflanked this stupid left.
And finally, do you think maybe that they're forcing the Labour government's hand on some of these issues, like the, for example, the winter fuel payments? It seems that they've kind of out-lefted the left.
Well, it's that's a U-turn that everyone expected, because, I mean, that just makes the Labour Party appear to be vicious Calvinists. You have the likes of Rachel Reeves and Liz Kendall. They don't have very attractive ideas, morally attractive ideas. They seem to have reverted to some sort of, Victorian, almost soft eugenics. And it's quite nasty. And it's turning voters away. You've seen what's happened. The Labour Party, their popularity has plummeted. So, again, clever move by Reform. But the fact remains that, we need braver politicians. We need international agreement. We would suffer if only Britain stood up to the money marks. We need agreement from the Americans. And don't forget, what did Roosevelt do? One of the first things he did in 1933 was separate investment banking from the clearing banks and clip the wings of the investment bankers. It's one of the first things he did. And following that, he began to drag the US out of the depression. Corporate capitalists quite like recessions and depressions because they reboot the system, they gain assets in the fire sale, and they can start again in a few years' time making big profits out of the wreckage. They don't mind recessions at all, but recessions are awful for ordinary people. And the sort of kowtowing that the Labour Party has done to this sort of economic thinking has ruined its reputation amongst most of the population, and it will be very, very difficult to recover.
Okay, Steve Hall, thanks very much for joining us again.
Okay, thanks.